Morning, brothers. I was looking for the Krispy Kremes, Derek. I didn't see him anywhere. One of these breakfasts, wasn't there? He had like boxes of Krispy Kremes. It's fine. He's probably still saved. Aren't you, Derek? Well, it's good to be with you guys this morning. I'm really happy about this series. I think it's going to be very good. The book that we're going to be basing a number of the topics on this year is called Reclaiming Masculinity. It's by Matt Fuller. The title for chapter one, I was given chapter one. The title is Men and Women Are Different. So what I want you to know, brothers, this morning is that men and women are different. So let's close in prayer. Actually, I think this topic is really important. It's very timely for us men, not only because God has a lot to say to men and about masculinity, but also because our culture has become alarmingly confused over men, over masculinity, over gender in general. It is rather alarming what is happening. The culture is absolutely obliterating any rational, any biological definition of manhood or womanhood. And you know very well in our culture, a man, our culture, a man can be a woman or vice versa. And the culture will just accept it. And they won't just accept it. They want you to accept it and celebrate it and demand you to celebrate it. And for those of us over the age of about 30, even saying all of that seems almost completely irrational. And for decades, there have been many who want to totally downplay the differences between men and women, try to erase any kind of difference there might have been taught or celebrated in years past, and just completely level the field. There is no difference between men and women. And even the word masculinity has is perceived as almost entirely negative today. What's the adjective you most commonly hear with the word masculinity today?
Toxic.
Right? When you hear about masculinity, you're usually hearing about toxic masculinity. That's the context of masculinity in our day. What's toxic masculinity? It's men who are overly or unnecessarily aggressive or violent or sexual abusers or sexual harassers. They seek out and abuse power. They insist on dominating others. There's coarse and inappropriate and insensitive talk among women. They always suppress their emotions. They maintain an appearance of hardness. They are selfish and full of male ego. Masculinity, bad. And that's the flow. That's the spirit of the age when it comes to masculinity. Masculinity, bad. Are some men like that? Yes, absolutely there are. There's a lot of men like that. Can I encourage you this morning, don't be like that. There's nothing about this so-called toxic masculinity, it does exist, that honors God, none of it. There's an alternative. What should it really mean to be a man, to be masculine? What is God's design for men? Well, we're going to be looking at that in our breakfast meetings, different facets, different angles, different nuances about what does it mean to reclaim biblical masculinity. So we need to be reminded of a few things. We need to be reminded of a lot of things, but let's start just looking at the beginning. We'll start right at the beginning very briefly. We do not live and exist in a vacuum. We cannot ignore God. We cannot ignore the fact that we are living in God's kingdom. We didn't evolve from lower life forms, and then we're just free to make everything up as we go. That's not the reality that we live in. God created us, and He designed us in perfect wisdom. He knows what life is about. He knows what brings maximum flourishing and joy and peace and glory to Him. Genesis 1:1, way back in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the context we're living in. Right from the very beginning, this is the context we're living in. God created man and woman, and He created them with good and distinct characteristics and purposes. Men and women, as defined in the Bible, were lovingly, wisely, wonderfully created the way they are. Two sexes with biological and physical differences, both created on purpose, with a purpose, as God said in Genesis chapter 1, to image God, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. But God made men and women different. Clearly and obviously, He made them different in a lot of ways, but He made them the same in various ways. We can't and shouldn't ignore that. He created them in a specific order. He created Adam. And then out of Adam, He created Eve, because He said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." A companion, a helper. And biblically, men and women are equal in worth. They are equal in dignity. They are equal in value to God, but different in physical characteristics, with different but complementary roles. And it's good, and it's right, and it's beautiful, and that's what should be celebrated. That's what should be embraced. And our culture has forgotten that long ago, but we must not forget, brothers in the church, how God created us and His purposes for us. God isn't fuzzy about how He created us and how He designed us. Nothing changed or evolved in us that took God by surprise, so that we now need to redefine men and women. Our culture isn't wiser than God, although they act like it. Or act like God isn't even in the picture. So the title, I like this title, we need to reclaim masculinity. We need to be reminded of what godly masculinity looks like, what God calls men to be like, and over we see role distinctions, and we see physical distinctions between men and women in the Bible. And there are things that we have in common. I want to look at a few verses this morning. 1 Peter 3:7. Peter talks about husbands. He says, "Likewise, husbands, not people in general, husbands, men, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So let's notice a few things here, similarities and differences. If you're a husband, understand that your wife is different from you, and those differences are not bad. He highlights one of them here. He says, she's the weaker vessel. I take that to mean physically weaker. It's obvious. Men in general are stronger than women in general. She's not morally weaker. She might be smarter than you. She might be funnier than you. She might be more godly than you. But she's not the same as you physically. and that has implications in various ways. She might be a more natural leader than you. But God didn't call your wife to be the leader of your home. He called you, men, husbands, to lead in your family. There's a role distinction in the family. He says, work to understand her, live with her in an understanding way. That means be a student of your spouse. Understand how she thinks. She has a unique point of view. She's not the same as you. She doesn't think like you do, and that's good. We are complementary in our marriage relationship. She expresses emotions differently than you do. Men and women in general are just wired differently. It doesn't take all that long to figure that out, right? Work to understand her and cherish your God-given differences. And it's very interesting that the verse also says then, if you don't do this, your prayers will be hindered, which is fascinating. This command has implications for your prayer life. He says, show her honor as a child of God. Understand that you're an heir of the grace of life and she's an heir of the grace of life. You're equally in value in the eyes of God. You're both made in his image, both equally loved by God, both sinners saved by grace through faith in Christ. Both have an eternal inheritance as believers. Different but complementary in some ways, equal in others. In the Bible, God has a lot to say to Christians in general. There's a lot of commands, a lot of biblical verses that have a lot to say about Christians in general. Much of Scripture applies to both men and women. Much of it applies to mankind. But God has many specific instructions for fathers, for mothers, for husbands, for wives, for brothers and sisters, and it doesn't have to do with value or importance. It has to do with God's good design. Differences in roles in the family and in the church. But even so, we shouldn't exaggerate the differences. That doesn't mean that God wants men to just be tough and courageous and manly. There are times when God calls men to be nurturing like a mother, and always caring and loving and kind. The Apostle Paul tells the church at Thessalonica that the apostles treated them gently like a nursing mother and also like a father with his children. There's a couple of verses there on your sheet. It says in 1 Thess 2:7, we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. And it's interesting to note that he's making a distinction. There's something unique about being a mother. There's certain things that mothers do, which doesn't mean that at times there are occasions where men take that characteristic of a nurturing mother. There's occasions where that's called for. Especially, you know, you're talking about somebody who's maybe come to faith in Christ recently, and they need nurturing care, like a nursing mother would take care of a new child. And then in verse 11, the apostles were like fathers to their children. He says, verse 11, for you know, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. So we need to be careful not to exaggerate all the differences and say, men are this, and women are this, and this is how we behave in our respective roles. There are times when we need to have a nurturing spirit like a mother would have. And you see the differences there, some of the similarities. So men were created different from women. And those differences and those distinctions should be embraced. Our culture doesn't embrace them very well, but we in the church should. Because this is God's good design. We should thank God for his wisdom and the way that he created us. But we shouldn't exaggerate the differences either, because we share many characteristics as image bearers of God. And there's other passages we could go into that illustrate these points. But I want to focus the rest of our time on a few passages that grabbed my attention as I was preparing for this morning. They have to do with God's call for men to be strong and courageous. There's a great pressure on men in our culture to be more like women, to have more traditionally feminine qualities, emotionally, temperamentally, etc. There's not a lot of public support for men to be strong and courageous. There's a lot of support in the scriptures for men to be strong and courageous. These are the kind of qualities you might normally think of when it comes to men. And biblically, men should be. And it's true that God made men's bodies sturdier and stronger than women's bodies in general. Of course, there's exceptions. But God doesn't want men to just be physically strong so that you can do some of the hard physical things that women can't do. You should do those things, yes, do those things, but you don't have to be able to bench 200 pounds and skin a deer to be a strong, God-honoring, God-glorifying man. God wants men to be strong in the Lord. And he also wants women to be strong in the Lord, but men especially. I'm talking to you this morning. Be strong, be courageous. You can be 100 pounds soaking wet and be among the strongest men in the Lord. Listen how the Apostle Paul says it in 1 Corinthians. I've always been struck by this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13 to 14. He says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love." He says, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Now remember, he's writing to men and women in the church. The men should act like men, and the women should act like men. Sounds kind of funny. It was a time when men were men, and women were men, and the children were men. Is that a quote from something? I don't know where that stuck. Is it? I don't know why I heard that, but it's stuck in my head for a long time. It's always been funny to me. But what's he talking about here? He's saying that you should no longer act like children. Grow up. Act like men. Be mature. So men, act like men. That's the call of God for you. Be strong. What does it mean to be strong? God wants you to be strong in many things. Let me give you three. Number one, be strong in the faith. Be strong in the faith. Be strong in godly biblical convictions. Paul says, stand firm in the faith. Stand strong in your faith, okay? You have faith in God, and if this whole thing is maybe new to you and you don't know where you stand in relation to what the Bible has to say about God and his Son and why he sent his Son, this is stop number one for you if this describes who you are. You need to understand, as we move through all of this, men and women are the same in the fact that we are sinners. We are equally accountable to God because God has created us. He called us to be holy, and we are not holy. We are exactly the same in that way, men and women. And yet God calls you to be holy. The problem is we are not. The biggest problem with that is now we are accountable to God and we will be judged if we go to our grave in that state. Because we will face God as our judge. But God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth, to live the perfect life, the holy life that you could not live. And then he was falsely accused, sent to a Roman cross, and God laid the sin, your sin, the sins of all who would believe on his son. And his son died, and he paid the penalty. He was judged in your place for the sin that you would commit your entire life. Then he rose from the dead in victory over sin and death. And he offers you forgiveness. He offers you eternal life. He offers you pardon through faith in his son who took that judgment for you in your place. If you have never come to the faith, to the place where you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I urge you to do so. And if you want to know more about that, talk to me later. Talk to any of the guys here later. Paul says to stand firm in the faith. You can only stand firm in the faith if you know the faith. Be a faithful student of Scripture. Stand firm in the faith. Know the gospel. I just shared that with you. Preach the gospel to yourself. Know the foundational teachings of the Bible and sink them into your heart. The Apostle Paul exhorted his young disciple Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed." He has no need to be ashamed. Rightly handling the word of truth. That's God's call for you, is that you would rightly handle the word of truth, that you would know the scriptures, that you would know how not only to understand it, but how to share it with one another. What it means for your own life. You need to be a student of the scriptures daily. Set an example in this for your wife and your children and for your siblings, for your peers, if you're not married. Deuteronomy 6:6-7, it says, "And these words that I command you today, God's commands, shall be on your heart." And that's good. Read the scriptures, know the scriptures, let them be on your heart. Meditate on the scriptures. But should it stay there? Should it stay in your private thoughts? No. The next verse says this, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." He's not talking about preachers. He's not talking about rabbis or pastors. "You shall teach them to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise." Sounds like pretty much all the time, right? Make the scriptures a part of your conversations in your family. Talk about them with your wife and your children. Be strong in the faith. Number two, be strong in God. Be strong in God. Be trusting in a big God and walk by faith in him. God is sovereign. Be a student of God. God is sovereign. God is almighty. God is able. God is faithful. God knows everything, and he is trustworthy. Paul exhorted the believers in Ephesians 6:10-11. He said, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Be strong in trusting in the loving, gracious, almighty, sovereign God of the Bible. That comes by faith, as you know him more, as you know his nature, and trust in him, and believe his promises. As you know God, you will grow in your trust in him, and you will be strong in him. Your strength is not something that you just gin up and just kind of say, I'm going to be strong. You're strong as you know God who is strong. And as you walk by faith in him, and trust in him in all of your circumstances that require strength, strength in your soul. So when some things in your life or some things in your family seem beyond your strength and your control, know that God is able, and God is faithful, and God is working, and God is in control. Be strong in God. Walk by faith and trust in him. God is way bigger than your problems and your challenges. So when they come into your life, we don't shrink and say, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. We say, God, help me. I know you're big and strong enough. I know you are working in this. I know you are sovereign in this. Trust in him. Don't be characterized by doubt or unbelief or give in to fear. Be strong in God. Trust in him. He is your source of strength. Your strength is rooted in him. The third thing, be strong in character. Be strong in character. Act like men, mature men, godly men. In Ephesians 4, 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul is talking about how God has gifted the church with apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, to teach, to equip, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what it means to be a mature, godly man, is to look more and more like Christ in your character. Why? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Act like men. Is that my phone? Act like men. Be spiritually mature. Grow up in godly character. Your family needs you to be strong, to be spiritually mature. A spiritually immature man creates insecurity and disappointment and fear in a family. God calls you to lead your family spiritually. And one of the most important ways you lead your family is through your godly example. Your family needs to see you with your face in the scriptures, on your knees before God, leading the family in scriptures and in prayer. Your family needs to see you trusting in God when the heat gets turned up. We need to be an example of humbly hearing from God's word and putting off sin and putting on righteousness. Submitting to the Spirit's leading, being strengthened in your inner person through the Spirit of God. Don't remain a spiritual child. And all that comes as you're in God's word often, believing it, submitting to it, loving it, trusting it, walking by faith in the power of the Spirit. Men, if you're married, your wife and your children need you to be strong in these areas. There's a sense of security and peace in wives and in families when the men are strong in the Lord. Faithful, biblical, courageous, and also loving. Paul follows that sentence in 1 Corinthians 16 with verse 14. He says, Let all that you do be done in love. Godly men, strong men, courageous men, act according to God-honoring, Christ-like love. I'm going to close with some passages that emphasize some of these points. When I read through these, notice the words strong and courageous as we read through them, and notice especially where their strength is rooted. Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 6, Moses continued to speak all these words to Israel, and he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. I started you at verse 6. I'm reading the context. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you. And you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Then he says, be strong and courageous. This is big what you're doing. You're going over into this promised land and there's going to be obstacles. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. This is where your strength is rooted. He will not leave you or forsake you. This is the reality you live in, believer, is when you go headlong into a challenge, God is there with you. You don't go alone. Your strength is rooted in the presence in the sovereign, almighty God. Deuteronomy 31:23, as Joshua was taking the reins of leadership from Moses and about to lead Israel into the promised land, it says, and the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. You're not ginning up all of this strength and courage by yourself. Your courage is rooted in who God is, in the fact that God is with you. Joshua 1, 6 and 7. Be strong and courageous. Sounds familiar. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, to the right or to the left. Sounds like be strong in the faith, that you may have good success wherever you go. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We don't have to gin up all of this strength and courage. It is God who is with us. He is mighty in strength, and we draw from him. 1 Chronicles 28, 9 to 10, this is King David's charge to his son Solomon to build the temple. David prepared all these things, and he's preparing his son now to do this huge task. He says, and you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands every plan and thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Be careful now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. 1 Chronicles 28:20, then David said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. 1 Kings 2, verses 1 to 4, when David was in his final moments of his life. These are his instructions to his son Solomon. He says, when David's time was to die, what drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes and commandments, his rules and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, wherever you turn. He's encouraging his son. He's exhorting his son, be strong in God. Be a student of God's word. Apply it to your life. Walk in it. Stand firm in the faith. And we could go on. But all these people, they needed strength and courage to do what God had called them to do, because what they were called to do was beyond them, truly, apart from the fact that God is with them, enabling them, empowering them, giving them grace. It's the same thing with us, men. God has given us a huge call to be men of the faith. And if the Lord wills, husbands. And it's a high calling. It's not an easy calling. You need to be strong in God. You need to be strong in the faith. You need to be men of character. That's what God calls you to. We live in a fallen world. We need strength to live in it. We need strength to live with uncertainties and disappointments and tragedies. We need strength and courage to lead our families in Christ when the culture is lying to them every day. We need strength and courage to love our wives and our friends and our children when they're still sinners like us. It's not easy living, is it? It's not easy. One day all the troubles will be behind us, thank the Lord, right? But until then, it's going to be difficult day by day. And God has called you to be strong and courageous in Him, in His Word, in your character for His glory. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our time here this morning. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for these exhortations. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as men to be strong in you, to be strong in the faith, to be strong in character. Work in our hearts, Lord. We know that you are always doing 10,000 things all at once. And we're not always aware of what you're up to. But Lord, help us to walk by faith. Help us to walk by faith that you are at work, that you are sovereign, that you are almighty, that you know everything. Help us to be examples to our family, Lord. Work in our hearts. Work, do deep work in our hearts that we might be more like your beloved Son. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.